This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the opening half hour of the show is brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll take care of whatever your insurance needs are. They'll do everything they can to save you money. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We get right out of the gate with the outstanding Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. And Rich, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
It was great to see you on Saturday, by the way. I know I didn't really get a chance to talk to you that much. You and Wogan Rich were deeply entwined there. So.
Yeah, we were, unfortunately. But, yeah, good to talk to you now, though.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you now. So, Rich, I always refer to this as Blue-White Game Over Reaction Monday. So.
That's good, because I agree.
But just a general observation, and maybe in part backed up by conversations you had with players afterward, what were your thoughts?
I'll get to the main point. I'll back into this. The first thing is obviously with Nick Singleton and Catron Allen not playing in the Blue-White game, it was interesting to watch Quinton Martin and Cam Wallace. And we understand Cam Wallace has had a good spring. And to see Martin on the field for the first time in person, it was nice. They both had productive days, and they're competing, obviously, to be the number three running back, which is significant. I mean, it is. It's not, at the top of the list of priorities, but sure. Got a chance to see Audavian Collins, who, I heard a lot of good things about, play at cornerback. That was good. Same thing for A.J. Harris and Jalen Kimber. But to me, the biggest takeaway I had from the game, there's another, the wide receiver situation, which has been talked about, but the fact that Abdul Carter looked like a natural defensive end. Again, he's not going against first-team guys. I get it. But that quickness off the ball is something that is almost unteachable. And in talking to him after the game, I asked him, is the door still open for you to play some linebacker? And he, was very, very coy about it. And I got the feeling that he will be used at both positions come the fall because of how the rotation is at defensive end. They've got so many talented defensive ends. I can see that happening, that he's going to be used at both positions in the fall. I don't know that for a fact. That's just my take after talking to him.
And I would say this, and it was something Jack and I brought up in the broadcast on our side on Saturday, and we talked about the fact that as a defensive end, Penn State over the years has used zone blitz. Adisa Isaac ended up being really good at it. When you have a guy that's played linebacker before, now playing that spot, it's a more natural part of playing that spot, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could see, I thought he did really well in coverage last year. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
When he dropped into pass coverage. And yeah, I could see that, and it makes it easier, it makes it natural. But I can see situations, Steve, where it's third and two or fourth and one or whatever, and Tom Allen wants to put three linebackers on the field to stop the run and move him, to linebacker for that down and bring somebody else in up front. Right. I mean, I could see that. I mean, he's, I was looking over my notes from an interview I did with Manny Diaz last year, and he went on and on about how versatile Abdul Carter is, and he mentioned, what he did, what Manny's defense did in 22 with Tig Brown, and about moving him around and being in different places. Now, I haven't had a chance to talk to Tom Allen one-on-one, but I can see that. I can see them using Abdul Carter that way, and I brought up in my column that in the print edition today, I remember that Brent Pry designed to hold his defense in 2020 around Micah Parsons for good reasons. You know, and then of course we know what happened. Micah opted out because of COVID, but to use him in multiple ways, and I could see Tom Allen doing that. Again, I don't know that's going to happen, but I certainly can see that.
Yeah. There'll be a lot made, of course, the quarterbacks. If the stadium were on the coast, they would have been referring to the winds as gale force on Saturday. I mean, just in general, not just your thoughts, but the conversations afterward about them, because the conversations afterward deal with the other 14 practices.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, things that I've heard, and you obviously you've seen at least some practices. I have not seen more than, you know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes in person, but I know that both people had a good spring. That's what I've been hearing. I've been told that, and I heard Drew's had a good spring, and I just don't put a lot of stock into like a scrimmage like that. You know, like there's certain, like, you know, and again, the weather was just awful. I mean, the sun was out, and that's about all you can say positively.
Yeah.
I was out in the parking lot before the game, and I couldn't believe how much the wind was gusting. And honestly, you can't really draw much from that, you know, like what happened. But I think the other thing, Steve, as you know, that offense was as vanilla as as it can be. Yeah. And, you know, Andy Kotelnicki, who I talked to almost 2 weeks ago now, I mean, we know there's going to be a lot of motion, there's going to be a lot of shifts, a lot of pre-snap movement. There was none of that on Saturday. None. You know, and for good reason. I understand why. So, you know, it's hard to draw. I think the fact that Drew Aller and Bo Prabula, and the only receiver I spoke to after the Blue White game Saturday, Caden Saunders, their eyes lit up when you asked about the offense, the new offense, and about Andy Kotelnicki. And that says a lot.
Yeah. I mean, because that what's interesting about that is, I think idealistically in a practice, let's just say it's a five-minute period, there's 17 reps in the period, James Franklin is the coach, one way or the other wants it to be 9-8. Mm-hmm. And for him, during the course of the spring, the defense won its fair share of reps. The offense won its fair share of reps. And I think you come out of it, when that happens, you do feel better about what you're seeing out there, because that's what they're getting. If that doesn't happen in the blue-white game.
Right, right. I mean, you and I have seen, I can't even imagine combined how many blue-white games. Oh. And I never cease to amaze how fans, other people, just draw conclusions from a 2-hour scrimmage. It just blows my mind, and I've seen it repeatedly over the last 35 years, and I'm just surprised. I'm still surprised by that today, that people are drawing conclusions about things. So I, you know, you take it with a grain of salt. You know what you see. Okay, you know this and that. You know, me being from Reading, I spent a lot of time watching Javon Williams.
Yes,
because he's from our area, and I wanted to see him live. Mm-hmm. He did okay. I mean, he was going against Jameel Lyons, who we know has an unbelievable burst. And you know, that's what I wanted to watch. Like, okay, that you can see things. But really, other than that, there's, you know, other than the things that I've already mentioned, you really can't draw many conclusions from what happened Saturday.
Well, yeah, Javon Williams and Jamel Lyons had some interesting confrontations during the course of the.
Yes, they
faced
did.
Off each other a lot during the course of the spring.
Yes.
and you and I have probably seen a combined, maybe better than 90 of these combined.
I've seen close to 40, you know, when I was, including when I was in school.
Okay, and I'm up to 45.
Uh-huh.
You know, look, and I'm trying to think how many of these things I broadcast, 26 or 27
of
them.
Oh, my gosh.
Whatever. But I'll lend this perspective. I understand people drawing conclusions from it, and that's why you and I come on and talk about it to give some mm-hmm. perspective and context to it, because that's the only exposure they have.
True. Right? That's a good point, Steve. Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only thing they see. And as I tell people, I said, "Yeah, I saw the other 14 practices." Okay?
Yeah.
So it gives you you can obviously give some context to what's going on.
I wish I could see as many practices as you and for longer, but obviously that's not going to happen, and I understand, you know, what can I do? But the point is, you're right. Fans see it, and I don't know how many people are watching on TV. You know, obviously it wasn't a great crowd size-wise, and it was because of the weather, and I understand that. But you're right. It's their opportunity to see some of these players. It was my first opportunity to see some of these guys live, you know, other than 10 minutes of practice.
Right.
So, I think, the big question going forward here now is about the wide receivers.
Sure.
Are they good enough? You know, and I obviously asked James that question after the Blue-White game, and he said they are. Drew Aller said they are. You know, the receivers in the room said, you know, we're ready to go forward here. You know, nobody, mentioning, you know, Keandre Lambert-Smith's expected transfer. So that's going to be interesting to follow here as the portal opens. You know, does Penn State pursue anybody in the portal? I don't know. You know, can they attract somebody out of the portal? I don't know. Only time will tell.
And the portal, by the way, will open up officially tomorrow.
Correct.
And and James, I'm going to guess that when it was brought up, he mentioned, I probably used the words honest conversations. Would that be correct?
He mentioned that in response to another question. Yes.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to. The players give their feedback. The position coach inserts their feedback. Then they meet with James. They go from there. That's the process moving forward for them. And that's the way it is. What is – this will be a philosophy question here.
Okay.
What is more interesting to you now? Is it the games – or is it the off season with all the movement?
Oh man, that's a great question, Steve. The games to me are still number one, mm-hmm. but obviously everything else that has changed in college football over the last 5 years, it's become similar to the NFL, the NBA, the NHL, even Major League Baseball, with the player movements. And we could spend, I'm sure you've spent hours upon hours talking about this. You know, the portal isn't going anywhere. That's not going to change.
Right.
But I think I mentioned this last time. I can see collective bargaining happening. I just think that's where we're headed. Yeah, I just think that's where we're headed. As James Franklin and other coaches have said, to put some guardrails up around this. Yeah. Because, you know, roster management used to be, I don't know how many months of the year. Well, now it's 12 months of the year.
Yeah.
And every day they're managing. Division I college football coaches are managing their roster. And that means checking on their guys. Are they going? Are they staying? What are they? That kind of thing. And then doing their diligence by checking the portal. you know, that they're doing their due diligence by doing that. So, yeah, it's it's interesting. It's also tiring. I will say that.
Yeah. I would think from a writer's point of view, you know, the blue-white game's over, you've been done interviews and used to do features in the past off of that, and then there was that kind of lull. And probably the transfer portal takes care of the lull in terms of generating stories. I'm just, you know, I'm spitballing here. Right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right now, honestly, you know, I'm done with what I have left from the blue-white game. So what I'll do over the next month or so is work on freelance stories for Town and Gown's Penn State Football Annual, and I'll work on my Penn State content for Lindy's College Football, which I've done for almost three decades. That's what I usually have done this time of the year, but I also now have to keep an eye on the portal. Yeah, for sure.
So what are your deadlines on each one of those, on Town and Gown and Lindy's?
Oh, gosh.
Where you're able to get in as much of the latest information as possible.
Well, Town and Gown is later than Lindy's. Like, we could go now probably sometime in June with that. And I don't want to speak for our editor, Mark Brackenberry, who does a terrific job. But Lindy's usually... And I haven't heard from them yet, but this is typical. They want the stuff by the first week of May. And the national edition, they want that, like, that's the first thing they want. So sometimes they've wanted that before the end of April. Okay. And other times, then, you know, the Big Ten edition of Lindy's, it's a little later, maybe a week or 2 weeks later. You know, usually by May 10th. I have to have all that done.
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have all the player movements in there. No, you don't.
Right.
No.
Right. And again, for me, it's an easy call. I have so much fun broadcasting a game. The games are exponentially not even close for me, but that's because of the job I have. I mean, look, I've got the candy store jobs. So, you know.
Yeah, but the two things that I. The reason why I'm still doing this is, one, the games.
Yeah.
I love writing. I mean, it could be about anything in sports, but the games, those Saturdays are, you know, most Saturdays anyway, are special. I mean, you know, sometimes they'll be playing on Thursday or Friday, but Saturdays are special. I love that. And secondly, and I don't know if we've ever talked about this, is the people on the Penn State football beat. You know, they're some of my best friends.
Yep.
Really good people. I'm not going to go down and mention names because, I don't want to forget anybody. But since I started for the Reading Eagle in 1989 covering Penn State, the camaraderie on the beat has been terrific. And, you know, there are people we've lost, as you know, over the years. Yeah. Jerry Keller in particular, he was my best friend. And there are other people, but to see them, like Saturday, that was great seeing everybody Saturday. And then seeing everybody during the course of the season, that's very special to me.
I've mentioned on the show what an awesome group that happens to be, because it is. I mean, it really is, which is great.
Thank you, Steve. But I am very proud of the work that the people who cover this team put out.
Yes.
And I know many have been recognized in writing contests, and I think, you know, I've heard people who wouldn't know scoff at the people who cover Penn State for various reasons, I'll just say. And I would defend the integrity of this group. I would defend it against anybody.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. completely agree with that, and I've said that before on the show. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't hesitate to say that because I know for a fact it's true.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Rich, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. I know you jumped in late, and that was really cool, but that's the kind of guy you are.
Anytime, Steve, you know that. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rich. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle. Brilliant work, as always. All right, we'll come back more in a moment. We're actually going to talk about the Sixers at some point. They're in the play-in tournament, and if they win it, they get the Knicks. So we're going to talk about that, what, next hour? Does that sound right?
No, he's coming on tomorrow. We have
coming on tomorrow?
Oh, yeah,
tomorrow.
We have the Pens, Josh Getzoff.
Oh, Josh Getzoff's on today.
Yes.
A rough ending to them.
Yes.
This point. Not quite done yet, but you know, that loss to the Bruins really hurt. All right, this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Go to NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at SunburyMotors.com. Today is the 11th anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing, and yes, it is Patriots Day today in Massachusetts and Maine. Thus, that means the running of the Boston Marathon today. Cissé Lema of Ethiopia, blistering pace, wins it with the 10th fastest Boston Marathon ever at 2:06:17. He ran the opening half, the opening 13 miles, in an hour and 19 seconds. 60 minutes and 19 seconds in the first 13 miles, which is 99 seconds faster than Jeffrey Mutay's course record in 2011. And Mutay finished at 2:03:02, which is still the Boston Marathon record, 2:03:02. This was 2:06:17. Won by 41 seconds. For Lem, it's his second marathon victory. He won in London for his other marathon victory. On the women's side, Kenyan Helen Obiri defended her title. 34 years of age. First woman to win back-to-back Boston Marathon since 2005. And great day today because the temperature's in the 60s, sunny skies. And also in the town of Hopkinton, they had 30,000 runners. The town of Hopkinton celebrating its 100th year as the starting line of the Boston Marathon. And Marcel Hug, by the way, it was a crash, but still won the 7th Boston Marathon wheelchair title today. He is out of Switzerland. Set a course record an hour and 15 minutes, 33 seconds. There you go. Those are the winners today in Boston. And, of course, the Red Sox are playing their annual Patriots Day game. And with two outs in the bottom of the eighth inning, the Guardians lead them 4-0. But that is what's going on in Boston today. It's Marathon Day. Rob Gronkowski, by the way, the Grand Marshal today.
How did your run go yesterday?
Between 2,500 and 3,000 participants, it was great. What's really great was the fact that they raised over $500,000 for Special Olympics. And when I was done, I emceed the Open. And James Franklin was there, gave a great speech. And the I talked with Sue Paterno at the finish line, which was the 50-yard line side of the stadium. We were talking, and she says, "Steve, remember, because I've done all 15, and she said, remember the first year, he says, we ended up raising $35,000? And I said, hey, did you ever think you'd get to $500,000? She says, it was a dream. Well, $500,000 raised for Special Olympics. Now, the Pennsylvania State Games will be here on the University Park campus in June. June 6, 7, 8. And the opening ceremonies, and I'll be emceeing the opening ceremonies, will be on Thursday the 6th. And that'll be at Medler Field, Lebrano Park. So there you go. It's, I think, but that's how it went. I mean, you know, when you stand up in that stage and you just see a sea of people, Todd, it's pretty impressive to see. Pretty impressive to see.
Especially when they're all there for something good.
Yeah, right, exactly. And, you know, it's most of them are there to run. It's a 5K. And others can walk, which is great. So, and I think that's just all part of it. It's all part of it. All right, but that was big. As I was kidding around with I was kidding around with Rich. I said I always refer to it as Monday as overreaction, blue white game overreaction day. And again, just some perspective. And I think when I brought this out, you notice how Rich was like, he said, oh, wait a minute, hold on, you're right. It's the only exposure the fans get. They don't get to see anything else. Oh, there's some people that get into practice here and there. There's certain groups that get in. You know, there were some donors in there on Thursday. The Letterman get in there. Obviously, you know, the families of the recruits get in there and so forth. So it's not like it's an empty practice. Every once in a while, you get one that's like, "Hey, is nobody here?" It's like, okay, you do get that sometimes. So I completely understand that that like people, when it's the one thing you see, oh, I don't understand the hype train on this and this and this. Okay, I got it. I got it. Okay. But when you see the rest of it, that's where you get a perspective. So let's just take, let's get perspective on, let's talk about Quentin Martin. James's answer on Quentin Martin got asked because he scored 2 touchdowns on Saturday. So let's see, let's see. I'll find the exact quote here. I'm sure it's. But he scores 2 touchdowns in the game. And you get a reaction as to, you know, what did James think of him? Where is he right now? And so forth. And let me see here. Just want to make sure I got it the exact. Ding, 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 ding. I'll just take Frank Bodani. As to what Frank wrote, it just seems to be easier to find it that way. And let's see. Martin, the most highly rated of the trio, scored twice, limited touches, blah, blah, blah. Let's see what he's got fair. So here's what he said about Martin. I think he's got really good vision between now and the West Virginia opener. He's got a lot of work to do. I think he'll do it. It's one of those things all of our guys got to understand. The number one ability in football is availability. You got to be out there and developed every single day and to be evaluated every single day. I would have liked to have seen more out of him, but I do think a foundation has been laid with him to make significant progress this summer. So, again, the number one ability in football is availability, right? So, with him, he was out there to start, got bumped up, had missed some in the middle, and then I think he's been out there the last 10 days. And he does a lot of really good things. But, in other words, I'm giving you some context to the answer. The number one ability is availability. Well, he wasn't available every single day. Not his fault. Not his fault. But that's the context of the answer. And when he was out there, let me put it this way. When he started spring practice, he had to learn how to practice the Penn State way. Not that he was doing things wrong, but there are certain things that James wants to see. And you can't do it like high school. So, well, I'll give you an example. You give the ball to a running back, and boom, and he gets corralled. And in high school, they'll just stop and they go back. Here, you got to play the whistle. Well, sometimes you'll hold the whistle deliberately to see what you're going to do. And you learn right away how you're supposed to do it. Now, the last part where he finally got out there, he made a couple really nice plays in the last 10 days. You saw the touchdown run to the corner on one than the other touchdown run. The second touchdown run was more similar to one I saw, maybe it was a week ago? And then his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, which was not showcased. Because he didn't get the ball thrown to him. He has really good hands. Really good hands.
He's also somebody, they really limited their use sometimes of him in high school. I don't know You know, I'm not sure he played a full game all year until the last game of the season.
Yeah. But, I mean, as James said, one of those things all of our guys have to understand. The number one ability in football is availability. They've got to be out there every single day to be developed. And again, it's not his fault, but he did miss some time during the course of the spring. So, for them, they've seen some things from him, but they want to see more. I mean, that's the name of the game. Adavian Collins made great progress at corner. Why? A, he worked hard. B, he's put on a little bit more weight. And C, he was out there every day. He didn't miss a single, I don't think he missed a single practice. He was there for all 15. So I'm using him as an example of available every day. And he kept making progress, making progress, making progress, making progress. And that was really great. Really great. You know, even a veteran like Zane Durant was out there every day. And Zane Durant walked out. He had a terrific spring. Terrific spring. So, and that's what it means to be out there every day. You're not going to get better unless you're actually there. You're just not. The quarterbacks. I'll save the discussion of the quarterbacks after the break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back to the Monday edition of the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. We were just discussing the blue-white game and some of Steve's thoughts on it. Rich Scarsella joined us earlier in the program to give us his thoughts about it as well. And later on in the next hour at 2:35, Josh Getzoff joins us.
Yep. All right, so the quarterbacks. All right. This is where blue-white game overreaction Monday kicks into a different level. I always tell the story about Daryl Clark, Pat Devlin, right? And Daryl asking me, I don't know, a couple weeks into the season, in the fall of 2008, he says, Steve, when did you think I won the job? I said, after about the third or fourth spring practice. I said, I could tell at that point it was yours. He says, really? I said, yeah, you could tell. Right, that's not an indictment of Pat. I'm just saying that's how well Daryl had performed. Well, you get to the blue-white game, and one of them throws for over 200 yards, and the other guy's 3-7. Guess which guy was 3-7 in the blue-white game?
Daryl Clark.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Ah, blah, 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 blah. What are they doing? It's obvious who the starter should be, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, I'm at some tailgate, and I'm just standing there like, yeah, okay. I said, well, we'll see how it plays out. Figured I'd just say that. So, and walking away going, well, and again, you walk away and you go, you know what? That's the only one you saw. I'm talking about the fans. You know, you're walking away saying that's the only one they saw. That's why the perspective you try to give when you're sitting here, like, I saw the other 14. So since I saw the other 14, you're going to have a better grasp on what's going on. And so when people overreact to what they see in a blue-white game, I completely get it because that's the only thing you saw. Totally get it. So let's get to this. Drew Aller had a way better spring this year than he did last year, and a way better spring than he had last season in the preseason. Bo Prabula is miles ahead of where he was in the preseason last August. I mean, you're like, oh, I didn't see him do anything. I understand that. He is miles ahead of where he was in the preseason last August. Not just the spring last year, but the preseason last season. He did really well. And the part of this is that you have to remember, so much of this is vanilla. Basic coverages, basic route tree. You know, a lot of it's so basic, I get that. And I know somebody said, well, they ought to put in some plays and da-da-da. There's a reason why coaches don't do that. And the reason is that you're sitting there with all new coordinators. Now, special teams doesn't really enter into this because all you just saw was guys kicking it and fair catching the ball and things like that. But for West Virginia, they're looking at all this Kansas video to get a feel as to what Andy Koltunicki might do. Okay. And they're looking at all this Indiana tape to see what Tom Allen might do. Well, you don't want to sit there and give them the opening opponent, a grasp on what you're going to do. And I think that, you know, and that's one of the reasons why the game plays out the way it does. And everybody's like that. I mean, the Georgia game showed zilcho, right? Ohio State, look at the Ohio State. Look at Ohio State, what? Hey, I watched 10 minutes of it and went, okay, up in the booth. I'm like, okay. Because you've already done and put in all the stuff in the other 14 practices. Okay, now here's the one where everybody gets to see it. So from a program point of view, you have to approach it that way. But fans did get a chance to see certain guys out there, like a Cam Wallace, a Quentin Martin, people like that, that will get you excited about the future.